All right, so let's do some review. How many been paying attention to what it takes to be a good soldier? How many been paying attention to know what it takes to be a good soldier? So somebody help me out. What is the first thing that it takes? I see that hand. What does it take to be a good soldier? He knows what team it's on. Let's everybody say, he knows. Yeah, he knows what team is on. And listen to me. And who knows who's on our team? Somebody say, God is on our team. You've got to understand. You've got to know. You've got to recognize God's on our team. Listen, the days of thinking that God is against us is over. Jesus was clear in John 10:10. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God is the one who comes to give life and life more abundantly. You know what? And stop claiming that Jesus brings sickness and disease. Look in the Bible. Look what Jesus did. Did Jesus take sickness and disease from people, or did Jesus give sickness and disease to people? Never one time will you see Jesus giving sickness and disease on a person. And that's just, it's just not accurate. Jesus is the one who delivers us. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Very good. What else did we learn about a good soldier? What number two, what else? Yeah, we understand the warfare that we have. We understand the weapons that we have. I'm gonna go into the armor of God coming up. But one of the things that we see is that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and we use that, listen to me very carefully, we use that power that God has given us to build people up. Somebody say, build people up. Are you an encourager? Do you build people up? Do people want to hang out with you? You know what? If we're going in a car, you can go with you or this guy over here. You know what? Do they want to go with you, or do they want to go with the guy over there? Amen? We're not talking about, you know, just because you're always a builder up. Okay, very important. Very important. Very good. Very important. What was the third thing we learned? What? Yeah, oh my goodness. I I preached that, and I didn't recognize, I recognized to some extent, but since I preach that, oh, I see it all over the place. Here's what we're saying. That, listen to me. Secularism has been couched as okay. Like there's the people who worship Satan. And then there's the people who, and those people are all the crazy people. And then there's the people over here who worship God, and we're all the, you know, the saints. But then there's these people in the middle, and these functioning stuff in the middle, and it's all okay. It's just like, oh, they're not that bad. Secularism is a, we want God out. And we see it in all kinds of, on the internet to the max. If you have the wrong opinion, we're gonna cancel you. We're gonna shut you down. We're gonna shut you up. Guys, wake up. It is craziness. And it's time for the church to wake up and speak up. Okay, I'll give you a big chance to say amen. It's time for the church to wake up and to speak up.
Amen.
Then we spend a couple weeks on the last one, number four. What did we learn? What? Yeah, real simple. Never, never, ever, 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 what?
Quit.
You have no idea. You could be 3 weeks from your breakthrough in your marriage. You could be 3 days from a financial breakthrough in your business. You could be 4 months outside of a breakthrough in our church. And there's Christians, and there's the battlefield filled with them, to the left and to my left hand and to my right hand, and they've fallen because of the trickery of Satan. Because really, they were too in love with the world and not in love enough with God. May that never, ever, ever be us. Can you say amen to this? But today I want to talk to you, and I won't be long. I'm going to smack you upside the head for just a little bit and then say you're released. Amen. But look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be very, very helpful. In my prayer time, the Holy Spirit led me over to this direction. How many know it's good to listen to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit led me in this direction, and is He leading me in the direction? How many ever talk back to God? And is He leading me in this direction? I'm all like, no, no, God, I already talked about the power of the tongue. He said, no. I need you specifically to deal with this area. And I wasn't even sure what He was saying. And then God gave me further revelation to talk about the difference. When we talked about the power of the tongue, we talked about our warfare and our weaponry. And we're using our tongue to build people up, and we're using our tongue to tear situations. The Bible says death and life is the power of the tongue. You need to use your tongue and speak death to strongholds, to iniquities. Those are family bents that you really didn't even have anything to do with, but your heritage is to say, enough with that shenanigans. This is not going to go down to my kids and my grandkids. It's stopping here. There's things around you that you see that you need to stand up and say, no, not on my watch. And speak death to those situations. And then there's other situations that they're not what they should be, and you don't need to look at them and say, oh me, oh my. You need to quote the word and say, no, no, no. As far as me and my household, we're going to serve God in this situation. Our nation's not going to go down with this ship. Do you understand? You need to build up some situations that aren't what they should be, and you need to tear down some other situations that you need to tear down. That's what I was talking about. But the Holy Spirit directed me, and here's what He said. Listen to me very carefully. He said, there isn't anyone that will hear this message that doesn't need to hear this message. There is no one in the front row, in the second row, in the last row, to the north or the south, that doesn't need to hear this. Very important. And He said that concerning this subject, this is absolutely ruining people's lives. And to the most extent, they don't even understand that they are doing it to themselves. A good soldier does not complain. A good soldier doesn't complain. A good soldier, many times, have surroundings that are not comfortable. They have objectives that are nearly impossible for them to be able to take that battle, for them to be able to be successful against the enemy. Plans and assignments that are extremely difficult. I didn't say that soldiers don't complain. I said a good soldier will not complain. Because a good soldier understands that when there is a difficult hill to take, when there is an assignment that is difficult, that their complaining could be the very thing that causes the morale to go down in those that are around them and in themselves. The battle's hard enough that they're not adding to the problem. So a good soldier understands, I can't afford to complain. I can't afford to complain about the weather. I can't afford to complain about the food. I can't afford to complain about the hardness in the assignment. I just can't afford to complain. A good soldier will not complain. Now, just so you know, very quickly, let me go over some scriptures, and then we'll spend a little bit of time. I tell you, we're not going to take me long to preach this, but then we'll take a little bit more time specifically talking about the Israelites, and I'll show you how they never did God intend for them not to go in the promised land. But I'll show you how they created a wall that kept them from going into the land flowing with milk and honey. And it had nothing to do with God. Well, it had to do with God in his judgment, but it wasn't the will of God. And I'll show you that in scripture. But before that, let me just really quickly show you the will of God, you know what, from three scriptures very quickly. The first, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. We'll look at this in English and in Spanish today. We'll look at it in English and Spanish today. Okay, guys, Philippians chapter, what did I say? Chapter 2, verse 14. Where are we? Do we have it on the screens? Guys in the back, do you see it? Here we go. Look what it says. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Somebody say all things. Do all things without complaining or disputing. Everything you do, you shouldn't complain or dispute about. Everything. Okay, next verse. Next verse. James chapter 5, verse 9. James chapter 5, verse 9. Look what it says. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Notice this verse, and we'll see it in the Old Testament, that God is judging grumbling. He's standing at the door. How many know God hears everything that comes out of your mouth? How many know the Bible says, by your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned. What am I talking about? I'm talking about how destructive it will be for you to continue to complain and murmur and complain about situations that you're in. And I'm telling you right now, you're building your own wall against the destiny that God has called you to walk into. It's all throughout the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Well, as they find that, let me continue to build my wall. So you notice who's building the wall? Who's building the wall, somebody? Yeah, I'm building the wall. And people say, oh, that doesn't affect me. That's not a big deal. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, bang, 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 pastor talking about complaining all the time. Well, the only reason he talking about complaining because he just don't want to hear any complaints. That's why he's, no. No, that's not why. This is in the Word of God, First Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Go through it. Rejoice when? Always. What's the next verse say? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Watch. What's the next verse say after that? In what?
Everything.
Philippians says, in everything don't complain. Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks. Watch this, for this is the will of God in Christ. Oh, Pastor, I want to know what the will of God is. Here's the will of God. Here's the will of God. Stop complaining. That's the will of God. In what situation? Here's what I want you to catch. Every situation. In every, somebody say every situation. In every situation. All right, go back to the scripture in Philippians. Look what it says. Do all things without complaining or disputing. All things. Somebody say all things. Now, what version is that? That's the New King James, right? But if we look at other versions, you're going to find the same thing. All things, everything, make sure you're not complaining. And then I thought, you know what? Well, what does it say in the Spanish version? Let's look at the Spanish version. You got that up? Okay, who can help me? Who can help me with this? What is it? George, what does this say? What does this say?
I mean, Tony, what does that say?
Hacer todo sin murmuración y contienda.
Hacer todo sin murmuraciones y contiendas.
Now, you all know that your pastor is bilingual, right? How many know your pastor's? No. Siéntese. Tell me I'm not bilingual. I can't believe these people. They laugh at me when I say, Pastor, how come you know that? I know a lot of Spanish because I took 2 years of Spanish at Pioneer High School. Can I tell you the main thing that I learned in 2 years at Pioneer High School? And you'll be able to figure out why I learned these two things. Uno, my teacher would say, Drew, siéntese. And then the second thing I learned, dos, she'd say, Drew, silencio, por favor. I learned to be quiet and sit down. That's what I learned in my 2 years of Spanish at Pioneer High School. So, what's the first word? Do. What's the second word? Yeah. Okay. I know you all are sharp. Todo. Sounds like total, right? Right? My friend was helping work on the barbecue area yesterday. I said, what is everything in Spanish? He said, todo. I said, oh, yeah. I know a lot of Spanish. Amen. Right? Sounds like total. And it because that's what it means. It means total. It means everything. It means here's what it means. It means in every single thing that you do, stop complaining. That is the will of God for you. Oh, I don't know the will of God. I know the will of God for you. Stop complaining. Because as you're complaining, you are actually building a wall that is going to separate you from your destiny that God wants you to walk into. Amen. Are you learning something? The Holy Spirit shared this with me the other day. He said, tell the people this. How many believe that God still speaks to people sometimes? And he told me this. He said, tell the people this. There's two things that they need to really understand. There's many or most people, I believe, do two things that seriously undermine the wonderful life that God intends for them to live. Number one, they way underestimate how much their complaining will cost them, number one. And number two, they way underestimate how often they are complaining. How many know it's easy to see sin in other people's lives? Oh, come on. Maybe I need to preach to people over here. How many know it's easy to find sin in other people's lives? I mean, you're like, oh, you know what? It's so easy to see their sin. But how many know we're a little less likely to see sin in our own life? Two things. We don't recognize how much we complain. Remember what the Holy Spirit told me. I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I know He's never wrong. But I don't believe I was wrong when He told me that this week. He said, there's no one in the congregation that doesn't need to hear this message that you're going to preach. This isn't about a good soldier knows his weaponry, life and death and the power of the tongue. That's not the message. I preached that a month ago. This message is a good soldier will not complain. And you've got to understand that your complaining is doing something. But it is not doing something good for you, and it will comment upon comment, word upon word. It is building the very thing that is going to stop you from walking into the destiny that God intends for you to walk in. Listen, you say, yeah, but the Word of God is all powerful. There's nothing that can stop the Word of God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't say amen to this. I know you want to. Don't say amen to that. No. Let's know the Word of God. Oh, Pastor, there's nothing that can stop the Word of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says the tradition of God causes the Word of God to have no effect in your life. The tradition of men. Sorry. That's my helpmate. The tradition, not of God, the tradition of men. Some of you have a tradition of just complaining. And you think you don't do it that much, and you think what you would call little, you think it doesn't have a very big effect in your life. And I'm telling you what, comment upon comment, sentence upon sentence, day upon day, paragraph upon paragraph, you are building a wall that is going to keep you from walking into the blessings, the calling that God has called you to walk in. And it won't be God's fault. And when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, I'm not judging you. I have no idea whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. I don't know. You know, you could ask Tamara, I think you're all saved, amen? I think everybody comes to church is saved. There's no everybody, because that's just how I think. But the Bible says many will say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say to them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. I don't even know who you are. Amen? I mean, understand what I'm saying. You know, how many, one time, remember when the, and you know what, and they made great donuts. I had too many of them to, I can testify, they made good donuts. But over here, remember the donut place over here? Okay, nice, kind lady and her husband, I think, ran it. Sweet people, you know what I mean? Prayed for them when it was burning down. Went over there, prayed for him. But I had some good donuts over there. One time, I got some chocolate milk over there. Oh, how many like chocolate milk? Come on. We're my chocolate milk lovers. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And I was, oh, man, eating that crumb donut, went to guzzle the chocolate milk. Sour as... Which, you know what? I was like into it. You ever been into it? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, chocolate milk. Right? Come on. Just because you buy chocolate milk don't mean it's a good chocolate milk. Amen? How many understand what I'm preaching? Help me preach this. Listen, what is the will of God for you? That you not complain in every situation. You can look at any translation. I looked at 20 translations yesterday, and every single translation, you know what? They're talking about in everything, don't complain. And then I even took it a step farther and I thought, you know what? I wonder what the Spanish translation is this. Total. Right? Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Of course, we have it on the screen. We're reading from the New King James. If you don't have that version, it's okay. But we have it on the screen that you can read with us. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And let's start with verse 1. Numbers chapter 11, let's start with verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. How many know the Lord hears everything you say? How many recognize it displeased the Lord? Look at your neighbor and say, God didn't like it when they complained. Look at your other neighbor and say, God don't like it when you complain. No, really. No. This ain't even my first point. I'm already out of the gate. You know what? How many understand this? That God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He didn't like it when they complained. He don't like it when we complain. It displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Oh, notice. You know what? Your complaining has effect in your life. Remember I said people don't understand. They way underestimate how much it's going to cost them. These people underestimated how much it was going to cost them. Verse 2, then the people cried out to Moses, and then Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire was quenched. Verse 3, so he called the name of the place, I don't know how to say that, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Verse 4, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the lemon, the melons, the leeks, the onions. I'll talk about the onions in a minute, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Let me quickly tell you about the history of the Israelites. The history of the Israelites. The Israelites were in bondage to the most powerful nation at that time, Egypt, on the face of the earth. There are many historians who say as strong as Germany was, or as strong at that time, or as strong as, during World War II, or as strong as the United States is, now, or as strong as any country has been, having superiority over countries around them, none compared to the superiority of Egypt compared to the countries around them at that time. That's how powerful they were. And it is that country that God, through his supernatural power, his intention was that his people go, that generation go into the promised land. That's what his will was. But because of their complaining, it stopped them from going into the land flowing with milk and honey. What's we don't even understand flowing in men with milk and honey. Well, all those people, the economic strength was farmers, and they were ranchers. Milk and honey, milk being the milk from healthy animals that were providing milk for other animals and for people, a prosperous ranch. honey being an example of bees and pollinating all that needed to be pollinated, that there would be richness in crops. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a prosperous land. It's a land where these people could flourish like they had never flourished before. That's what he wanted them to walk into. Let me tell you about your future. God has a future for you. I'm not sure what it is. Here's what I know what it is. It's a future of a hope. It's a good future, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. But I fully believe, and I'll show it to you in the Word, that there are those in the Old Testament who never walked into what they were promised. And it had nothing to do with God except that he finally said, enough is enough. You know what? If that's what you want to keep on talking about in your life, if that's what you want to accuse me of, then fine. But you built your own wall, and you will never walk into the land flowing with milk and honey that I intended you to walk in. So I will have to give it to your kids and your grandkids because you wouldn't stop complaining. Let's put it in context. Because in context, you know what they were upset about? They were upset about manna. They're like, man, manna every day. Let me put it in context because sometimes we can say, but Pastor, come on. You know what? I mean, I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but, you know, too much of peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you can get tired of it. Well, let me put it in context for you. They are set free from slavery. They look behind them, and the Egyptians are coming with the chariots and the horses and the spears and all their armament. What do they got? They got pots and pans. They got nothing. They got no training. The biggest army in the world is after them. And God, somebody say God. And God delivers them. Opens up the Red Sea that they can walk through the Red Sea and be delivered, rescued. And then, so good, closes the Red Sea strategically on the army of Egypt. So guess what? They're not having to look over their shoulder anymore. The Bible says they saw the army washing up on the shore. They're all dead. Oh, I forgot to tell you an important part. Before they leave, God says, I'm going to give you favor. Read it. Somebody say, God says. Favor of God. I'm going to do this. I don't have it on. I've got a diamond ring. Oh my goodness. It's a big diamond ring. I wish I had it today. I ain't going to give it to you. I'll tell you right, you ain't getting my ring. Amen. Now, let me tell you why you're not getting my ring because I'm cheap, but also you're not getting my ring because it was my dad's ring, and you know what? His grandpa gave it to him. Don't tell me the wealth of the wicked ain't stored up for the righteous, because my grandpa got it he was playing poker. And I guess they ran out of money, and he won it in a poker game. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't tell me the wealth of the wicked ain't stored up for the righteous, because I wear that ring. I love that ring because it was my dad's ring, and I saw him wear it every day of his life except when he got, you know what, except maybe for the last year. So that's just deep memory. But I love the history about it. And I will wear that ring as a representation of my Father, but I also wear that ring as a representation of my Father. Hallelujah. Amen. I said all that to say, you ain't getting my ring. But before they leave, they're given. They poke their head over their fence and say, hey, all your gold and all your silver, and I don't want none of the Kmart stuff, but any of the Nordstrom stuff, bring it on. Why is this important? Because this is context of who these people, what God had already done for them. And they are complaining about God's provision. As God, you know what, DoorDashes them food every single day, right to them. So why did they not walk into the promised land? Because they wouldn't stop complaining about God's provision. The same problem with them is the same problem that I believe that we have. And the same consequences to them will be our same consequences. It will keep us from a land flowing with milk and honey. It can keep you from the dreams and the visions. And it's ironic because you'll blame God for it. And God says, by your words, you're justified. Not by my words. Here's what I say in my word. I say in my word that my plans for you are good, for a future and a hope, not of destruction. But you, sometimes we can walk by sight and not by faith. My Bible says that which is more real is that which is unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. My Bible says that in everything we do, we should do it without complaining. My Bible says that the will of God is for us to rejoice always. That's the will of God. Three things, I'll be quick. Three things that cause them to complain. Number one, whining begets whining. Somebody say, whining begets whining. They've done studies and they find that as you do things, your brain starts making these connections. And it's very dangerous if you're doing things that are unbiblical because these cause your brain to have a tendency to do that more and more often. And so whining begets whining. These people are being influenced, watch this, by unbelievers. I never saw this in the Word of God. It was right there in the Word of God. They're being influenced by unbelievers. Say unbelievers. Unbelievers. Look what it says. It's right there. Look at verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them, somebody say mixed multitude. Yielded to intense cravings, so that the children of Israel also wept again and said, who is going to give us, who will give us meat to eat? They are being influenced by unbelievers. Listen, don't let unbelievers influence you. Can I preach this to somebody? Why are we listen, you know what? I don't know how many people come and they're like, oh, you know what? God got this going on with my husband. Got this going on with my husband. And you know what? And you know what? My girlfriend said this, Pastor. What do you think? Oh, your girlfriend, huh? Your girlfriend, huh? Your girlfriend told you, my girlfriend said, I should not take any of that junk from my girlfriend said, my husband's a loser. Oh, your girlfriend, is your girlfriend married? No, she ain't married, but she said, my husband's a loser. Hello? What are you doing? What are you thinking? She don't know what she's doing. She's not only unmarried, she's an unbeliever. And watch this. And what has happened, what's really going on is, listen, is your husband perfect? Oh, come on, perfect husbands, raise your hand right now. Anyone? Yeah, one, and he's lying. Amen. Joking. Right? Come on. And so what's going to happen is you listening to your unsaved, unmarried girlfriend. Listen, and your girlfriend might be married. She still don't know what she's talking about. Right? And you just keep on talking about your husband, how he won't empty the trash. He's doing eight other awesome things. Amen. He cleaned your closet for you. He took care of the dishwasher for you. You know what? He did all of it. He did this and this and that. But no, you know what? But you know what? But he didn't empty the trash. You know what I mean? He didn't empty the trash. He didn't empty. Man, I tell you what, I'm about to kick him out. He didn't empty the trash. I mean, learning something today. Come on, you're learning something. And you think you don't complain, but your complaining is creating something, and it's creating something in your head that you're complaining more and more and often. And first he's not complaining the trash, he's not emptying the trash, and now he's not only not emptying the trash, but he ain't doing the laundry. I mean, at least he could do the towels, you know. Even Pastor Drew does the towels, right? Just a little bit at a time. Here a little, there a little. And you're creating this separation between you and the one that God has put in your life. And it's crazy because you're going to go to the lawyer and you're going to pull the divorce papers and give them to your husband. You're the one. God has given you an incredible job, filled with a bunch of crazy, unperfect people around you. But you don't have the smarts to keep your mouth shut. You keep on complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about this. And at the proper time, Satan, who has got you by a nose ring, is going to pull it. And you are going to just say to your boss all the things that you've been saying behind his back. Now you're going to say it in front of his back. And guess what? And you are not going to walk into the promotion that God has called you. Not only a promotion that God has called you to, but you're not going to walk into the ability for you to preach the gospel to all these people around you. They don't have a good report about you. You're just like everybody else that complains about that goofball. And that goofball, yeah, he's a goofball, but Jesus Christ died on the cross for that goofball. And God put you in that place. Part of your destiny is to get him saved, to be a witness of Christ. And you're not a witness of Christ because you are too busy, annoyed at him because he won't give you your break on time. And you're going to talk about it and talk about it. Talk about it. I mean, understand what I'm saying. Let me say this. It's this influence with unbelievers, but notice this. Come on, don't somebody shout me down. But notice this, that, and in this, I never saw it. They are, and we don't know this because we don't think this. But if you look it up, if you do the research, that it was Israelites that went out, but there were some other un-Israelites that went out with them. That were in the camp. That's what the Bible says. And that mixture, you know what, as they are allowing these people to influence them. Listen, let me take a kind of a side note, but not a side note, because it's in the text. Notice what it says. They yielded into the intense cravings. How many know y'all have an intense craving? Come on. Angel bought some donuts last night. And I came home past my eating time. How many know it's not good to eat late at night? And it was past. Somebody say past, Pastor. It was long past. But he had these special donuts. They weren't like regular donuts. I don't know what they were. They looked good. And as good as they looked, they smelled good. You smell, how do you know they smell? Because I smelled them. I smelled the chocolate ones. That was good. But then I smelled the coconut one. Oh, my goodness. And I felt, what did I feel? I felt an intense, somebody help me preach this. I felt a what? An intense, not a craving. What kind of craving? An intense craving. The question is, Pastor, did you yield to that intense craving? Hey, don't build another block for me, brother. Right? Did you? Here's a point. The point is, listen, and there are people in our society, and they say, no, God made me like this. No, God didn't make you like that. Satan made you like that. It's called an iniquity. You just don't understand spiritually what's going on. You have to resist that intense craving. I don't care what your craving is. See, that's where something, oh, I'm special. I have a special craving that I can do. No, you don't have a special craving, and I don't have a special craving. They're cravings. Anything that God says is sin. Stay away from it. It will harm you. It will hurt you. Well, that's not inclusive. Well, God says the road that leads to destruction is wide, and many are there who go by it. But few are those. Listen. Part of the reason why people won't come to faith is because it takes discipleship. It takes discipline to be a disciple. Anybody can just give into those cravings. But as you're hanging out with people who are giving into those cravings, and they're saying, what are they saying? They're not saying, oh, I blew it, I gave into the cravings. They're saying, nothing's wrong with this. It's how God made us. Nothing's wrong with this. And then all of a sudden, you're going to feel comfortable doing your craving thing. And you say, I'm okay. And I say, you're okay. We're all okay. We're not all okay. These are principles in the Word of God that we're called to stick to. God is our authority. God is our final authority. He is the one. We understand God. God is a loving God. God is not trying to keep blessings from us. He's trying to give blessings to us. But he can't give blessings just like you as a father. You know what? You don't apologize for telling your kid not to run in the street. You don't apologize for telling your kid not to put his hand over the flame. You know some things that your son or daughter doesn't know. And listen to me. And God knows some things that you and I don't know. It's what faith is in God. It's what trust is in God. God, I have a tendency to go this way, but you told me not to. So I'm just going to believe in you. I'm preaching way better than you're saying amen. How many hearing what I'm saying? And then, watch this, and then it's not just the unbelieving people that they followed. It's the belief, it's the, how do I say this? It's the unbelieving believers. Ooh, now we're getting into it, Pastor. The 12 spies that were given out, these are all Israelites. They were the leaders. They're a bunch of people around you. And they're leaders, but they're complaining leaders. Do I say amen to that or do I say not amen? I don't know what to say. I'm just telling you the truth. They're the ones who are walking. I'll say it this way. There are Christian even leaders. And they don't walk by faith, they walk by sight. And they call that wisdom. The 10 spies would have said, no, Moses, we need to walk in wisdom. It is never wisdom to not be obedient to God, ever. And the 2 spies were standing up saying, what are we doing? thing. God's going to follow through. I don't care about the Hittites or the Sadducites or the whateverites. It don't make any difference. God is bigger than any ites. Are you learning something today? It will cause you to complain as you start to mesh yourself with unbelievers or even unbelieving believers who won't put their trust in God. And next thing you know, you'll be, they're already creating a wall, but next thing you know, they'll have you creating a wall. They'll create a wall, and next thing, they'll be like, here, do it like this. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, I want to build a little wall. But pretty soon it won't be little. And it's all because you are following their example. How many know there's a, oh yeah, look at this. How many know it's fun to talk too much? See, I got no takers on that. No. Come on, how many would raise your hand? And thank you. No. There's something our flesh likes to do. Number two. They desired their past. Look, it's in verse 5. We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Listen, you had all that up. Listen. Yeah, you had melons and leeks. You know, God help you. You shouldn't even like onions. I hate them. But listen to what I'm saying. You add all that up compared to what God had for them. God had wells that they didn't dig ready for them. Houses that they didn't, large houses, large cities, houses that they didn't build. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Fields that they didn't plow. And they're going to take cucumbers. And my thought is all they got was the leftover rotten produce anyway. And that's what they're going to take. But that's what we take as we hang on to our tradition of my mom gossiped, my grandma gossiped, my dad, oh my goodness, he complained about everything. And I'm not that bad. But you are continuing to build for you and your family because what you are doing is you're setting an example to your kids. And it's so normal to them, they won't even recognize that they complain about everything. They won't even see it unless they come to a church here where the pastor is led by the Spirit, has the boldness to preach a sermon that don't make you feel good. Why didn't you preach a feel sermon today? Are you hearing something? Are you hearing from the Lord? Is God speaking to anybody? Is God speaking to anybody? Is God convicting anybody in the past week? Are you hearing yourself and the things that you've said about your boss and your friends and even your family, even your church? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And you have no business of looking at your past with fondness anyway. That's disgusting. How many know, man, Satan is such a deceiver. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it used to be so cool when I smoked weed, I'd get all wasted. And it was just like, ugh. You know what? Oh, yeah, like, yeah. And then you drove and smashed your new car into the wall. Remember that part? Oh, yeah, well, you know, that old boyfriend that's coming back around. You know what I mean? You're like, he brought me that flower that one time. Yeah, you know why he got you a flower? You know what I mean? Because he was so cheap. It was too cheap to buy you, some real roses. You know what I mean? Gives you a flower. Amen. One time, can I confess sin before men? One time we were coming home from water polo practice, and and wasn't me, but my friend, you know, it was after like Memorial, and so Rose Hills was full of flowers. You know what? He drove up, we all ran out of the car, and we all got flowers for our moms. You know what I mean? Mom, look, we got you flowers. They're from somebody's dead grave, but here you go. I'm just saying. Mimi, I hope you're not watching this. I hope you're not watching. Okay. What's my point? My point is, you know what? You have fondness of this guy, and you know what? And you don't remember what a jerk he was. Right? And Satan's not reminding you of that. My last point, and this is so crazy. The manna that they're complaining about is a bread that is providing for them everything that they need to sustain themselves. Listen, I can eat broccoli and steak and salad, and now because of the depletion of the soil, you know what? I ain't getting a fraction of the nutrients that my great-grandfather was getting. So what do I got to do? I got to take vitamin B and vitamin C and vitamin D. I got to take zinc. You know what? I got a whole regimen of stuff. And it's not my fault. It's that it's all depleted. God is giving them manna. This is God's, imagine this. This is God's supernatural food for them. Given to people who are promised to go into a land with milk and honey. This is a God that they saw delivered them from their enemy, from the oppressor, and then wiped out the oppressor. And before they left, they've got the gold and the silver of Egypt. And here's what you're going to say. Here's what they said. And has God brought us out here? Because there was no graves in Egypt? In Egypt? Is that what he's about? Let me tell you about your complaining. At some point in time, your complaining will go from circumstances to complaining about God. And the calling on our life is to always rejoice that in every situation, Pastor, but I'm in a hard situation. Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication. With, did somebody know what that said? With what? Thanksgiving. Why? Everything I do, I've got to have faith. I've got to have trust in God. I'm not praying because I think it's not going to change. I'm casting my care upon Him. I'm not anxious because I know that I serve a God that will deliver me. Many are the afflictions of the righteousness, but out of them, can somebody help me preach this? All of them. Oh, let me tell you about my God. My God is a good God. My God always causes me to triumph. I'm not saying you're not in a situation right now. I'm not saying I'm not in a situation right now. I'm saying I serve the one who delivers me from all of my troubles. That's what the Bible says. So I'm just asking, before we dismiss, who would raise their hand in front of all of us, whether somebody's looking or whether somebody's not, and saying, Pastor, you are spot on. This message is for me. Before you raise up your hand, some of you, majorly, you complain about everything. Almost everything. I won't say everything. Almost everything. It's so, for some of you, no, you don't. But there's some situations that they can draw that complainer out of you. Before we dismiss, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I don't want to leave here and say this message wasn't for me. I need to hear what God is speaking to me. Now, put your hands down for a minute. Don't raise your hand back up unless you're saying this. And I want to change. I don't want to complain anymore. I see what's happening. I'm losing my marriage. Just a comment at a time. I'm losing my sanity. I'm becoming embittered. I'm just jacked up. And I know that's not the will of God for my life. Now, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Hands up all over the place. Thank you. Father, you see my hands up. My hands up. You know the details, God. Father, but our hands are up because we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. Help us, God. Help every single one of us to step into a realm of, put your hands down, but listen to this. I've got a prophetic vision. It's a hot, hot, hot day. And there's this pool with this, not a pool, it's a pond with fresh waterfall. And you're going to, and when you stop, if you will commit to this, you're going to step into that pond and you're going to feel all the heat is going to dissipate. It's going to be so wonderful. And then this is fresh water, fresher than Arrowhead. And you're going to go over to that waterfall and you're just going to open up your mouth and God is just going to pour. And this, listen to me. I don't know who this is for, because it's one thing to raise your hand. It's another thing to walk into that. But God is giving you this word picture now, saying there is a realm that you're, and you are in the hot, hot, hot. You might not even recognize what you're doing in your life, but there will be, if you'll be obedient to this, you'll walk into this realm. And when you do, and that realm can be very quickly. It doesn't have to take 4 months to develop. You can stop, and even in a week, you'll start to feel the, my life is better. And it's because you're making that commitment. Now, get your hands back up. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for those of us who have our hands. I thank you, Father, that we will not just have our hands up, but we will keep our mouths shut, recognizing what harm we're doing. And Father, I thank you for the integrity of people who have their hands raised. My hands are up with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you came today. Okay. We don't like to leave a Sunday service. We don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus. We'll just be a couple more minutes, but this is so important. If you don't know Jesus in your heart, maybe you're watching even at home through the internet, or maybe you're here. All we have to do is pray. Now, you have to be sincere, but we're going to knock on a door. Jesus is knocking. We're going to open that door and say, Jesus, come on in. I'm tired of running my own life. Come in, change me, make me a Christian today. I need you, I want you, I love you, I repent. If that's what you want to do, you know what? Say this with me. Jesus, come in my heart, change my life forever. I want to be a Christian today. I want to serve you. I'm tired of running my own life. You run my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.